Welcome to the Connected Insurance Podcast, presented by Agency Revolution. Listen to interviews with the most influential people in the insurance industry. Learn the most important strategies, tactics, trends, and challenges facing today's independent insurance agents and brokers. New episodes every Wednesday. Visit agencyrevolution.com and click media to explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers. Subscribe today and get updates delivered right to your inbox. And now, without further delay, the Connected Insurance Podcast.
Hello, everybody. This is Michael Janz, co-founder of Agency Revolution, and I want to welcome you to the Connected Insurance Podcast presented by Agency Revolution, creators of Fuse, the insurance marketing software that rockets, skyrockets retention, boosts policy per customer, and makes your clients love your agency without having to hire more staff, without having to hire programmers or technologists. And I am thrilled to introduce this conversation with you. I have mentioned previously that often my most popular podcasts are when I interview an agent, because obviously you share their story. If you're an agent, you share their story. You share some of their trials and tribulations, and you're hoping that they'll give success secrets away, which they always do. You're going to get the same here. I'm not interviewing an agent. I'm interviewing Clinton Houck, who is the digital marketing specialist for State Auto Insurance. And in this case, he really does work at a very, very super practical level, while at the same time having a profound understanding of the direction that the industry is going and the challenges that agencies face, because he works with them every single day. I think this one is a Hall of Famer. I think this is this will go down as one of the classics of the Connected Insurance Podcast series. Clinton is, first of all, I grew up in an agency like so many agents did. Mom and dad were insurance agents. He started an agency. Then he started a pure digital marketing agency. And then he got the attention of State Auto and they brought him in, which I think you'll agree with me in about 45 minutes, I think was a very, very smart move. So a number of things that Clinton shares. The number one number that he wants his agencies to track, and you might be a little bit surprised that it's not the one that, well, you may not be tracking this number, and you should, but I think, as you'll see, once you kind of gain an understanding agency-wide of what it takes to get a customer and how much it costs to get a customer, then you can unleash your marketing systems to get more. So that's number one. He also shares some his ideas for quick wins. In other words, small, quick wins that you can get by the end of next week. That will make a difference for your agency, but I think also not just make a difference in the marketplace, but make a difference internally in terms of esprit de corps and culture. And then, in addition to the short wins, he also lays out a long-term path and plan for success in this rapidly changing insurance world. So, couple things I'm going to ask you, and then we'll get moving. Number one, I do think it's important that every agent knows what the future looks like. That's to some extent why we sit down and do this together. Another way would be to read the InsurTech book recently published by Wiley. I'm a co-author, but full disclosure, I don't make any money off of it. All of the co-authors sacrificed royalties, commissions, or payments for the quality of what I think has turned out to be an excellent text on the future of insurance. So hop on Amazon, take a look at it, you decide. If you have nominations for people you think would be an interesting podcast guest, let me know. And in fact, if you nominate them, you can feed me some questions And I'll ask those. So how's that for... There's a pretty fair trade-off. If you've got somebody you think, I'd really like to dive in that guy's brain, I'll do it for you. And your nomination will help me secure them as a podcast guest. Just reach out to me, michael@agencyrevolution.com, or reach out on LinkedIn. And then finally, one last thing. I will be attending the InsurTech Connect conference in October in Las Vegas. If you're going and you'd like to grab a cup of coffee or a beer... or what have you, let me know. Reach out to me on LinkedIn and let's see if we can make a connection. All righty. So now, without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce you to what I think is a jam-packed, full of value conversation with Clinton Houck, digital marketing specialist at State Auto Insurance. Clinton Houck, so glad you could join us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Appreciate you having me on, Michael.
I'm excited about this in part because I know some of the things that we're going to be talking about. Why don't we first start with a little bit of the thumbnail sketch about who you are and how you got to be that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So like so many others in our industry, I grew up in the insurance industry. My parents run a State Farm agency out in Pennsylvania, about an hour and a half west of Philadelphia. So my childhood was growing up going to insurance conventions and agency trips, and what better way to motivate an individual wanting to go into the industry than getting to go on agency trips
all that fun stuff, right? On.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
Good. And so literally, like, your childhood was an insurance childhood.
Correct.
Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. Like
absolutely.
A lot of our listeners and a lot of my clients. Okay. And then what?
So I graduated from college in 2008, right when the economy collapsed, and watched a lot of my peers lose job offers that they thought were locked in place and had to figure out what they were going to do with their career. And I had the opportunity to become a commercial fire underwriter. So not necessarily the dream job that folks have coming out of college, but I had the opportunity to have a job coming out of college.
You had a job. And you know what? Hearing that little bit of your story makes me think episode number two with Clinton would be, what's it really like to be a millennial, you know, with college debt, and then boom, the recession hits and you got, you know, and job offers are scarce and your friends are falling by the wayside. But because that's an important part of the insurance environment that we're all living in today, both in terms of, like, in your case, employees and potential employees, and of course, an insurance consumer. So in any case, we'll do that in episode two. So you had the dream job, commercial fire underwriter.
Yeah. And I spent about 18 months doing that role, working in a cubicle of a corporate office building, looking at apps day in and day out. And while it taught me the fundamentals of the business, definitely wasn't where I wanted to build my career. Again, growing up in an agency family, seeing the sales side of the industry, my desire was always to go and open an agency myself.
Yeah, because of the trips.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Underwriters don't get to travel. That's a shame. So.
Okay.
There you go. So I opened my first State Farm agency when I was 24 years old.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Did that in the suburbs of Philadelphia as well. And so spent a little over 3 years building a traditional brick and mortar agency with a lot of the old school fundamentals and processes of how my parents built their agency.
Right.
So, you know, one quick story there was, to build my recognition, I literally went door knocking through neighborhoods in the middle of August with road atlases, with stickers with my face and information on it, just to introduce myself to the community.
All right.
So,
would you do it again? And is that what you teach your agents to do now?
No.
Okay.
So it's been a radical transformation from that experience.
Yeah, but that's kind of the story of the industry, right? Because you know, my guess is mom and dad did something like that back in 1985 or whatever, right? I don't know if they were passing out road atlases, but that's an old industry standby. You know, Safeco had the road atlas program, you know, a generation ago, and it lasted for years. So,
absolutely.
Okay.
So then what? In your pocket with to collect prospect information.
Yeah, there you go.
Everything was very much a manual paper process.
Yep. But, okay.
But to that point, recognizing very, very early on in my time as a State Farm agent that our industry was really behind and that we were using a lot of outdated systems, tools, technology, processes that other industries seem to have already figured out, but we hadn't yet. And this was around the time when internet leads were becoming really big as sort of that new silver bullet solution that all agents had to jump on board and start paying, you know, $10, $15, $30, $40 for an internet lead. And yet we were seeing diminishing returns out of it. The close rates were plummeting, but the costs seemed to be going up.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, it's so interesting that you say that because that was part of a very part of the conversation that I had with an agent who was a guest that I recorded yesterday. So, okay. Quick interruption. When was that? That you like? What year are you talking about?
That was 2012, 2013. That really.
Okay.
And it was starting even earlier than that. You know, I spent some time as a agency field specialist for State Farm, working with agents in between becoming an agent and my underwriting days.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the big frustrations that a lot of agents had, you know, in the early or all about 2008, 9, 10 time period was that tide really started to turn, right? The early adopter agents were having a lot of success with internet leads, but then all of a sudden the lead companies got greedy, the agents got greedy, the quality of leads started dropping because a lead was being sold 30 times and somebody would fill out their information, their phone wouldn't stop ringing for 3 months. And yeah, it just became a really bad experience for everybody involved.
Set aside the fact that 86% of consumers don't want inbound calls from insurance agents. So now we're calling them for 90 days straight. All right.
Right.
So the industry's stellar reputation is plummeting even farther. All right. And
yeah,
so, I do have a serious question for you. Just, I'm curious your observation. What's the state of the lead gen industry now? The purchased lead gen industry?
I think it's come close to bottom here, at least in the insurance industry, mm-hmm. where the fly-by-night lead gen companies have gone out of business or going out of business, and those that are left are trying to repair and rebuild their industry.
Got it.
So there are still good internet leads out there, and there are still agencies that are making that model work, but it's a whole different look and feel of how you run and build an agency around an internet lead, a third-party internet lead, purchasing type of business model than what I would call a modern agency, which is sort of a blended model and self-generated leads from online.
Well, right. So wouldn't you agree that there's a world of difference between a third-party lead where you're calling up a stranger who wasn't asking for you, didn't have a relationship with you, isn't necessarily attracted to your brand or your value prop, they may not even know you, versus the lead who comes in because they want you?
Correct.
A first-party generated lead. So they're, yes,
and they
clearly.
Come in through your website, not cheapinsurance.com or
right.
anything else, right?
Right. And then what really would be interesting to analyze would be not only the difference in the closing ratio, but the difference in the retention.
Absolutely.
All right.
Well,
topic.
And that is what partially led me down my career path. After a little over 3 years with running my State Farm agency, I had found a local lead gen company in downtown Philadelphia mm-hmm. that I had partnered with more or less a handshake agreement where they were generating leads and I could work directly with the co-founders of the company. They were providing leads to my agency. And even though it was a digital internet lead gen, they were only able to send it to me via email. I was literally printing out the leads and handwriting. My team was handwriting the results and feedback of them. But it was working for us to some extent. But our close rates and what was more importantly, the cost of acquisition made sense financially. And so I ultimately surrendered my State Farm agency to partner with this company to found a completely digital online independent agency as a subsidiary of their lead gen company.
Interesting. So, again, what year are we in now?
So that was 2015.
Okay. And so your vision was to have a completely digital agency.
Correct. Yeah. And really what it came down to was saying, are we communicating through the channels that customers and consumers want to communicate through? And are we leveraging technology to deliver on the promises that we make to our customers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we were missing out on delivering on the promises with the traditional style and the traditional tools that we had at our disposal in the captive space, where I could potentially deliver better on that experience and on that promise running a digital agency leveraging the tools that existed out in the marketplace. We weren't even really inventing anything new. We were just using what was available, adapting it from other industries to apply it to the insurance industry.
Okay. All right. So without spending a lot of time on this, what were some of the tools that you felt were necessary? What were the kinds of or categories of technologies that you felt were needed when you were creating this vision?
Well, absolutely. I mean, one of the key areas, which I know many agencies do today now, is just integrating the concept of texting as a core method of communication. You know, one of the big challenges, if you see a number on your phone that you don't recognize, you send it straight to voicemail. And so contact rates were extremely low for a person that was shopping for insurance online, trying to get an answer online, and then getting a random phone call from a number they didn't recognize after they filled out a form that they thought was going to give them a quote. And so one of our solutions was just implementing a platform that sent out an immediate text as soon as a form was filled out that said, hey, we appreciate you requesting a quote from us. You're going to be getting a call from this number in a couple of minutes with your rate quote.
Okay,
so that
cool.
way they
yeah.
knew to look for our phone number and
right.
not to ignore it. And that was just one simple piece of technology that is readily available for anybody that uses a VoIP phone system or Twilio for those that are a little more tech
mm-hmm.
advanced
yeah.
Or have a tech team to be able to implement into their agency today.
Okay, so the frustration was somebody did reach out to you. Tell me where I'm wrong in the story. Somebody reaches out to you or there's a conversation somewhere. They want a quote for something. You do the research and analysis and you get the appropriate policy recommendation. You call them and they don't recognize that number. And of course, they think it's spam and they send you off into voicemail.
Right.
Is that what it? Okay.
Right.
And so the solution was shortly before you called them, what did you do? You texted them?
Yeah. So our process was literally as soon as somebody would complete the online form through our website requesting a quote,
all right,
it would kick out a text basically immediately at the same time. And then we had a lead management software that we used that prioritized all the leads and set the workflow for our producers. So our producers didn't even have to think about who they had to call or when
right.
to call them.
Right.
The system did that for them.
Got it.
And so
cool.
we'd call them in less than a minute as well and get them on the phone and start that conversation. And best case scenario was close that piece of business in 20, 25 minutes with one phone call and one text.
Got it.
That was
okay.
our dream.
Yeah,
case.
That's the dream. it was that software, that lead management software, was that industry specific or generic and you made it work?
Yeah, no, this was, insurance was one of their,
okay.
their industries.
Uh-huh.
The mortgage business was their other big one.
Got it. All right. So then what happened? I think the next step is somehow you ended up at State Auto. What happened?
Yeah. So, you know, it was interesting. State Auto wasn't one of our primary carriers in our agency.
Right.
However, when I got an opportunity to just talk to them and talk to the territory manager that had come out to our agency and they'd seen the way we were operating and doing our business, they asked if I'd be willing to talk to one of their product folks. And so got to have a very enlightening conversation to see a carrier that gets it, that was trying to evolve and recognize that we have to adjust our technology to meet the way that consumers are shopping today. And we have to integrate our technology in a much greater fashion into the tool and systems that agents are using today to be able to meet
right.
the changing customer expectations. And I hadn't had a conversation at that point with any other carrier that got it yet, the way that State Auto got it. And so probably 6 or 7 months later, there came a time for me to look for a new opportunity for some professional personal reasons. Mm-hmm. And I reached back out to State Auto. And they brought me on out, and we had some conversations, saw that we had a shared vision, and they asked if I would come on board and help modernize the independent agency channel and support the growth of the independent agent.
All right, so I think you just gave me your job description, right? You're trying to modernize the independent insurance agency channel, right?
Absolutely.
At least that part of the channel that is associated with State Auto.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Our focus is the independent. My focus primarily is the independent agent themselves. So I have counterparts inside the organization that works a lot on the State Auto technology and platform.
But exactly.
My focus.
Right. So you've raised one of the challenges of the independent agency channel, I think. Unlike, let's say, a different channel, let's say the direct. Okay. If they recognize that there are changes in consumer behavior, then they change their behavior. You are attempting to change the behavior of this species known as independent insurance agents, over which you might have influence, but you don't have control.
Right. Absolutely.
So, and obviously that's a challenge that you share with a lot of your peers, but... Interesting challenge. So I think maybe my next question is, how are you doing that? So first of all, how long now have you been there?
Yeah, so I've been with State Auto just over a year and a half at this point.
Oh, you've had 18 months. had 18 months. Have you modernized the independent insurance agent yet?
You know, I'd like to say that I worked that fast, but no, unfortunately, we haven't scaled yet to that success.
Okay. I'll bet you've had some influence, and I'll bet you have some stories to tell about agents who are ahead of the pack versus those who are in the pack or behind the pack, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we'll get to that. All right. so this is a great. This is really kind of the theme of this whole podcast series is getting the independent insurance agent of today into the modern age and connecting with the modern consumer and proving value to the modern consumer. So that kind of takes us to your current position. Mm-hmm. Share with us some of the things that you're doing at State Auto to make that happen and that you think are working.
Yeah, absolutely. The first component of it is there is so much information out there now. The industry has caught on, bought in, recognized that this change is coming or is here. And now it's a race to figure out how to actually embrace that change in a meaningful way. But the challenge that comes with that, especially as an independent agency where you're the CEO, the head of HR, the CMO, and many times the core producer as well, the time, the energy, the knowledge, the finances to be able to do that can be overwhelming. And I see a lot of agencies just stick their head back in the sand and go, I would like to,
right.
There's too much there for me to do.
Well, because after all, Thursday kind of feels like Wednesday did, and Wednesday felt like Tuesday did, and Tuesday felt like Monday. So, you know, maybe the place isn't burning down after all, right?
Right.
So,
to an extent, but yeah. There's a lot of agents out there that a few years back, absolutely. But it's interesting. Over the last year and a half, I have seen a really significant shift in philosophy there for. A larger percentage of independent agents that go, yeah, I used to think that way, but I'm now recognizing that I can't think that way anymore.
And do you think, so presumably, and I think I've shared a similar observation, a lot more starting to do something about it, but I want to go back to something you said about the sheer volume of information about digital technologies and digital marketing and the internet and changes in consumer behavior and all that stuff. Do you sometimes find that the agents that you work with, they do recognize the change. The shift is dramatic. They are motivated to make that change. And nonetheless, because of the sheer volume of information, they're a little bit bewildered and confused about how where to start.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, and the next marketing guru is saying, do this or do that, because they're selling this or they're selling that.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yes. And that's the big, that was the first big hurdle that we realized that we needed to help agents solve. And so that came in sort of two parts to a solution. The first was to structure the thought process around this. How do we help an agency start thinking about what part of their business do they need to focus on first, and which tools out there in the marketplace would actually help them solve that first part of their business?
So I'm really interested in that. So when you say structure the thought process, do you have a model that helps them do that?
Yeah, really distilled it down to four questions.
Okay.
So when I talk to an agency in the first 5 minutes of our conversation, these four questions are going to come up, and it's going to be, of these four questions, what are the ones? Which one of these do you feel like you need to answer the most or is most pressing for your agency? How do I attract visitors to my business? How do I turn visitors into leads? How do I turn leads into clients? And how do I drive the lifetime value of those?
Okay. All right. It's like,
so if you, those are the four.
It's really similar to the ACOR model, which I think our listeners have heard me talk about for some time. Okay. So how do I attract visitors? How do I turn visitors into leads? How do I turn leads into customers? And how do I squeeze juice out of the customers, create a maximum customer lifetime value? Okay.
Absolutely.
Now, so, I want to pursue this for a moment. My first question is, what's the most common answer?
Yeah, the most common answer right now is the, how do I attract visitors to my business, and how do I get leads?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. So here's my next question. When they provide that answer, do you think sometimes maybe they're not quite right?
Good.
Here's why I'm asking, this is something I've got a lot of experience with. It's so often with insurance agents and entrepreneurs in general, if they want growth, the knee-jerk reaction is, I need more leads, right? And they're sitting on whatever, 3,000, 5,000, 10,000 customers with literally 10 years worth of untapped value that they could go, you know, generate from their existing customer base. But the response is so often, I need leads. Give me more leads.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Right. And that's where our next part of our conversation starts leading into their numbers of saying, what are you tracking currently?
What are
the KPIs that you focus on? And then what are some metrics that maybe you haven't been focusing on that help bring illumination? And so a perfect example of this is when we talk about leads, for example, folks always focus on conversion rate. What's my conversion rate? What's my conversion rate? When really the focus there needs to be, what's my cost of acquisition? Whether your conversion rate's 20% or 80% in any given channel, the question is the cost of acquisition economically viable to generate a profit for your agency for that channel? And if the math makes sense, the conversion rate isn't near as important as the cost of acquisition.
All right, so I have a question for you. Let's say you go to 100 agencies and you ask, what's your cost of acquisition? How many of them know the answer?
One.
Okay. And that's because they went to your earlier workshop. All right.
It creates that starting point, though.
Yeah.
And it starts the thought process in the right direction of how do we approach this and think about this versus the conversation going all over the board.
Okay. So let's break cost of acquisition down for a moment. When you do this with an agent, what are the elements that go into the cost of acquiring a client?
Yeah, so you're going to be looking at the cost per lead.
Okay, so there's all the costs to get them in the funnel to begin with.
Yep.
Okay.
Then it is the cost of the actual quoting process itself and the employee time associated with the quoting and closing of that client.
Right.
And then the cost of the tools or systems that are utilized to be able to close that client.
Right. Okay. All right. So keep it relatively simple. I mean, at some point, you can't cost allocate everything. Like, you're probably not going to cost allocate. The electricity bill that month has to be spread among them. So, okay. So you get a fairly accurate, from a marketing point of view, you get a fairly accurate sense of cost of acquisition.
Absolutely.
All right. And then where do you go?
So from there, we're looking at that. And again, it depends on their market area, and it depends on how they're generating those leads. But for those clients that are, let's say, purchasing leads from that third party, so just to go back to our earlier conversation, those third party internet leads, we're going to look at that and say, all right, then what's the average lifetime value of those leads? What's the average lifetime value of your current book of business and clients? And do you know that by marketing channel? Because if you're saying, the average lifetime value, I'm assuming an 8-year average lifetime value of my customer, but most of my customers come for referral. If you apply that to buying internet leads, then your math is going to be way off. Right?
Yeah, because the referrals, here's a little known fact that I probably shared before, but according to Bain's research, a referral that comes from a loyal customer comes pre-baked loyal.
Yep.
Weird part of human psychology that we all should be aware of. And then obviously a purchased third-party internet lead, they don't come pre-baked loyal. They probably come pre-baked suspicious. So,
correct.
All right. And so correct. then where do you go from there?
So you're looking at a balance between what's my cost of acquisition and what's my estimated lifetime value. And does the math make sense? Am I generating revenue? When's my cash flow break even for that customer? And at least and I can't speak to every agency, but for me and my agency at my time, I was looking for a 1-year break even point. So
fair enough.
I would give up a year's worth of commission to write that piece of business.
Right.
And then for an internet lead, years 2 and 3 were going to generate my profit.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So when you're working with agencies, how do you think they decide what to do, or how do you advise them on like what to do first? Does it come out of this analysis generally?
The analysis starts here, but usually once we start getting into that type of conversation in either our the end of our first call or into our second conversation with them on that, that's when the eyes can sometimes start looking like the deer in the headlights and okay, this sounds great and philosophically, but how do we get from a philosophical conversation to actionable items?
I need some wins. Right. They need some wins, right?
Yep. Yep.
All right.
And so that's where a lot of times, again, this conversation is going hand in hand with this agency saying, hey, we're also trying to modernize the way that we're presented online, and we recognize that consumer habits are that 80% of consumers are shopping online or doing research online during the process. Now, they still may buy over the phone or in person the majority of the time, but they're using the internet to research that product, service, brand, or agency to say, should I do business with these folks?
Right. It's almost always a mixed media journey.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So
we start there because those are easy visual wins for a lot of agencies. And our industry is still relatively uncompetitive in a local market area for individual agents where agents can win with some pretty low-hanging fruit there. And so we focus a lot with those agents on Google reviews and fundamental level content creation to start boosting the rankings of their website. And that usually ends up being step one.
Okay. All right. Hang on a second here. So you work with them on Google reviews. And did you say content creation?
Correct.
Okay. I thought I heard you say that, and I thought maybe it was too good to be true. So I just wanted to confirm. Okay. So now their rankings are going to go up. Do you typically... Yeah, if they commit, throwing out a number, 60 days or something. So they have to get some good reviews. They have to create some content, post it on their site, whatever. 60, 90 days later, do you see that they start seeing a difference in that very first question you asked? How do I get more visitors?
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So that's right. What ends up starting to drive that. So a lot of times we're teaching them how to, or refreshing how to log into Google Analytics that their website provider set up for them originally, and just a very base level of how do I look at my Google Analytics to understand where I'm at today.
What do you, I love that. And I often consider that to be a kind of a relatively advanced skill set because it's baffling for so many people. What do you encourage an agent to do with Google Analytics?
So again, to your point, there is so much you can do with Google Analytics at that point, right?
Right.
So we focus on just baseline to say, let's look at your traffic trend over the last 12 months. And so show them how to see how many visitors came to their site, specifically new visitors. Return visitors, I'm not as much interested in because a lot of those are coming from people that already know the agency. And we run a couple of other reports for them.
Nonetheless, some value. I mean, if in fact they discover that customers are coming to get content of value, then that's cool stuff. I mean, it's difficult to turn that into assess the monetization of it, but we know it's there. We know they're finding value there. Okay, so.
But yeah, we start with saying, how do you, Mr. and Mrs. Agent, measure this? Because if you don't measure it or you don't know how to measure it, then you don't know how to qualify it or justify it from a time, energy, investment. And this is where a lot of SEO firms or third-party firms that agents have felt like, well, I got sold a bill of goods on. This is why, because the firms didn't take the time to help these agents understand what to measure and how to hold accountable the firm and the agency themselves. So we always start with the how do I measure this process to deem it successful or unsuccessful.
Got it. All right. So they are optimizing their website. What else do you think they should do?
Yeah. So the first piece is just attracting visitors to the website, right? And you brought up optimizing the website. I consider that a separate step in the process.
Okay.
The attracting visitors, the search engine optimization, that's a digital version of the sign that you have hanging out in front of your office. That attracts people, lets them know you're there. The website optimization itself, or the website design itself, is your digital representation of your physical office. That's what, when they come in the door, they get that good first impression that says, I want to do business with the folks here. I want to do business with this insurance agency over another insurance agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your website is meant to do. That's its primary purpose, is to generate leads for your agency. And shortly, as we see new technology rolling out here, pretty soon it should be not just to generate new leads, it should be to actually generate new business for you that then you get to follow up and build a relationship with after the fact.
Okay. Got it. All right. So let's talk about a website just very briefly. If there were two or three things that you think most agents could do to enhance the site itself, what do you think they should be?
The first one is simplify. Minimalist from the sense of the amount of writing that's on the homepage, of the scrolling pictures. There needs to be singular focuses, calls to action that grab the visitor's eye, and everything that's on there should be focused on driving that person to request a quote from you.
Right. Okay.
And so, a perfect example of this is the top bar menu with all the options of where somebody can go on your site. Agencies that I see have the most success will pick the one or two product niches that they lead within their agency. You may be a generalist agency that offers personal lines, commercial lines, health, life, retirement planning. You can do the whole gambit. But if you know that you lead through the garage, you lead with auto insurance in your market area, then that top bar should be about us, auto insurance, other products, right? And then
okay, got it. All right, and so
or lead, make it easy for them to find what you're trying to rank for online and what you're trying to attract visitors to your business.
So on the top bar, you like to see about what, four categories?
At most.
Yep. Okay, at most. Okay.
Yep. And,
all right.
And about us is one of them because while we may be doing our research digitally as individuals or as consumers, we still want to do business with people.
Right on. I'm no longer engaged in day-to-day operations at Agency Revolution, but one thing we discovered was that the second most visited site was the About Us or the team page.
Mm-hmm. And you want a great example of that. Stewardship Insurance does a great job with their About Us section and integrating technology to create a personalized experience. You know, you go out and look at their About Us section, and it's videos of their staff.
Oh, cool.
And their personal interviews, and they're relaxed. And after watching a 30-second video about a team member, you trust that person.
Okay.
You know that person.
I love that. That's beautiful. So that's stewardshipinsurance.com.
It is actually, their website's moneywellrooted.com, but the stewardship is the name of the agency.
Money Well Rooted.
R-O-O-T-E-D.
Got it. Okay. Very cool. I have a feeling they're going to be getting lots of non-insurance consumer visitors in the next few days. All right.
I love their About Us section. So.
Yeah.
Well, guys, I'm going to screw up your Google Analytics for a month or two.
If it wasn't for Clinton, our numbers would have made sense. All right.
Right.
To
your point about the other aspects of the website, that big call to action button in the top right hand corner that says get a quote, the contact phone number in the top right hand corner that somebody knows which number to call, right? When they hit your page, they should be able to answer their most pressing question immediately, and that is, how do I find a quote from your agency?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right on. There, any other pages they go to, short forms, and even the get a quote button, 5 fields or less. I know that some of the comparative raters let you put the live quoting option on your page, but if you count it up, a lot of those are 90 plus fields of information. Nobody's going to fill that out.
They're kind of a lead killer, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So.
Well, there was a dream, I think, that our customers would discover that the internet turned them into our CSRs. Darn. They're still customers, okay? So they're not going to do all of our work for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so is your experience that when agents put, like, you know, the live quote form on their page that they really don't work?
Yeah, conversion rates, lead conversion rates drop dramatically.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I predicted that to my audience at least 15 years ago, but a lot of people said, no, this is the wave of the future.
Well, what is exciting, though, is there's been learnings from that, and this will be my small state-of-the-art plug. I promise I'll keep it small, but, you know, we're working on a white labeling quoting solution that pulls in third-party reports. So really all the customer would need to do is fill out just the basic contact information that we would normally expect them to do in a short form, and then we'll source the third-party reports to be able to provide a real-time and relatively accurate quote without running MBR and Clue right on an agency's website. So it can be a stronger lead magnet because you're answering more of that question.
Right on.
Consumer.
Right on. Yeah. Of course, you know, let's have a longer conversation about this some other time. But of course, it does put price first and foremost, tends to make price the distinguishing feature, which, again, we can talk about it philosophically later, but...
Yeah. Well, I'll give you my quick rundown on that, to going from a traditional brick-and-mortar State Farm agency to running my digital internet lead-based agency. When I was a State Farm agency, I sold by building a very strong relationship first. I went out and did all my own home inspections. I looked at the pictures of the kids on the wall. I measured the house and talked about their upgrades, and I spent
You invested a lot in the beginning of that relationship. Okay.
Yep. And I could sell over price, and I had to because I only had one carrier I could represent. So there was no way I was going to always be price competitive. but and the consumers that worked with me appreciated that. On the flip side, the online consumer that's going online and filling out a request for a quote, it is, you're going to build trust with me if you can meet my immediate need. And then once you show me that you can meet my immediate need, then I'll let you build a relationship with me. Then I'll let you talk about cross-sells and multi-lining and packaging and upselling the umbrella policy, right? Show me you can help me with my auto insurance. Then I'll give you the opportunity to talk about everything else. Mm-hmm. If you're not willing to do that first component with me, then I'm going to hang up the phone on you because you're not actually helping me out with what I asked you to help me out with. You're pushing your own agenda. And that was an experience and a learning experience that I had to have in adjusting how my producers sold in my digital agency compared to my traditional brick and mortar.
Okay. All right. So so you had mentioned that I assume it's State Auto is working on this a way to make at least premium indications available relatively quickly. What else is kind of, you know, again, don't share anything that's so proprietary that, you know, you're going to be looking for your next career move. But I know that State Auto has a philosophical commitment to this industry and to thriving in the modern era. What else is going on that you think is going to help carry the independent insurance sector there? And what are the kinds of things that the company's doing?
Yeah. For us, it is, and for the industry in general, it's how do we continue to communicate information in the way that the customer wants us to communicate that information? And so we spent the last 3 years rebuilding our entire technology stack on the back end to become a completely digital insurance carrier.
Uh-huh.
And so everything's
okay.
Paperless, right. Everything's e-sign, everything's credit card payment and EFT payment. And, you know, early on in this process, we did get a lot of pushback from agents going, well, what about those customers that pay in cash? And what about those customers that want to do the sweep, and we want to do the sweep payments, and they want paper copies of their policies, and you know, you're going to lose a lot of business from doing that because that's how people want to do business today.
And the answer was what?
Well, the answer was, have you asked your customers that?
Yeah.
And have you looked, is that a gut feeling or is that from experience in the marketplace? And I'll give a couple examples of that. You know, I do go out and talk to a number of agencies in office and work with them one-on-one. And early on in particular, I remember going to a town where two agencies, same town, it was a farming community. One agency said, your model will never work because we have farmers that want to pay in cash and they're farmers and they'll never buy into this. And I went across the town and talked to the other agency and he goes, this will be great. I have farmers that come into my office. They pull out their smartphones. They've got automated irrigation systems.
Right,
they're
right.
Showing me their crops from the drone point of view.
They're geo-fencing their crops. And
yeah. they're larger adapters of technology than we are. They're going to love this.
You think it's because it's agriculture, it's old school. No, agriculture is new school. All right.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We just need to adapt to meet the way that our consumers are doing business and the agencies that continue to do that as well. And blending that combination of leveraging technology to personalize, create a more personalized insurance experience agencies that try to replace the personalized experience with just technology, that's not a win. And agencies that don't embrace technology, that's not a win either. But that blend of both worlds, that's where the win occurs.
Got it. All right. So without naming names, unless you want to, can you think of an agency that really gets it and is executing on it and could say to the industry, this is the way to go because I know it works because my numbers prove it?
Yeah,
okay.
Absolutely.
What do they look like? So give us a little bit of a picture, not a picture of maybe the agency 5 years from now. I mean, an agency right now that is executing on these digital strategies that you're talking about, and they're really entering into the modern age. Give us a picture of what that looks like.
Absolutely. One from a staffing setup, there's a clear delineation of roles. There's no longer the combination of a CSR and producer. You have a customer service team, or you're using a service center for a carrier, and you have producers. And producers are just focused on selling, and service is focused on servicing with finding pivot opportunities to upsell and push that back over to the producers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So from a staff standpoint, there's two defined roles there in that sense. But they also have either a in-house marketing team or a marketing person that is leveraging a third-party resource and managing that accountability.
Okay. So you already answered the question I was going to ask, but I just want to articulate this. So in a conversation with one of somebody who has a role very similar to you, okay, Safeco,
sure.
They do an annual survey of their customers, or roughly annual, of their agency force, I mean, and what they discovered, I think it was in the year 2016, that we hit a tipping point, that at that point, more than 50% of their agency force had somebody on staff, not necessarily devoting full time to it, functioning as a marketer. And of course, that warmed the cockles of my heart, and I'd love to hear that. And then in the 2018 survey, it had gone up till it was like 56% had somebody on their staff who was a marketer, not a chief marketing officer caliber, but you know, they were learning, and they were probably the ones who had hands and fingers on the digital tools, and they were learning about this new world of digital marketing. What's your observation about that in general?
Yeah, in general, that's the right direction and trend and be able to go.
Yeah, I mean, this is really interesting, because when I got into the industry, this is like 25 years ago, this notion of a marketer was completely foreign. And then when I started teaching marketing, it was always the agency principal, almost always the agency principal, who would participate in the training. And then at some point, they started maybe bringing a highly trusted person, a chief CSR or somebody like that, who could help. And then when we launched Agency Revolution as a software company, we noticed that those who really thrived had somebody who usually, unless they were really small, they had somebody else who did kind of the day-to-day, and the principal tried their best to provide some guidance and advice and at least some direction. So I think your observation is that more and more agencies have this position on staff.
They do.
Okay.
I think the challenge that folks are trying to figure out now is, what are the accountabilities and expectations of that marketer?
Right on.
That still hasn't been nailed down.
Got it. Okay. I love it. So when you, kind of fast forward in your mind what the industry looks like 5 or 10 years down the road, and, you see, and a lot's going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years, there will be those who really rise to the top. What do you think they're doing, and what do they look like?
Yeah, for one, it is a completely integrated passage of data through all systems on the back end of an agency.
Okay.
And agencies are data-driven organizations and not the traditional gut-driven organizations that you may have seen in the past.
Uh-huh.
I think that's the key differentiator there.
Okay.
And they can follow that metric from how many website visitors all the way to who filed a claim and what's my loss ratios associated to a specific marketing channel, and how did that lifetime value of that customer change from how often they interacted with the carrier versus our agency versus switching from different products versus policy mix. Being mm-hmm. able to see all those different scenarios and understand which levers affecting.
Got it. All right.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you a leading question, because I think I know what your answer is going to be, or at least I know what I want it to be. So on one hand, they've got the data that shows them what's working and what's not. And then on the other hand, I'm assuming that they're creating, designing, and managing content that influences the data.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so we've covered a lot. You've been really, this has been a fun conversation for me. Agents, obviously, everybody likes sort of the low-hanging fruit. Like, where are the quick wins? So if you were going to, like, throw out a few things that you think would be quick wins for an agency that says, okay, I get it, I have to do this stuff, what are you going to suggest for quick wins?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when we run through those four questions, you know, attracting visitors to my business,
right.
Google reviews is probably the single quickest win that any agency can have. You can see in some market areas almost overnight success of not being on the first page of Google to all of a sudden showing up in the map packs.
Yeah.
So
okay.
From that standpoint, really quick win. Another one is, I know video is what's going around the industry now and is the really big hot topic, but how do I get started with video and how do I use video to actually drive business? There's a really neat free tool out there, and this will be my disclaimer that we've got no affiliation with any of these tools, but we just see what works well with agents.
Right.
There's a company called Loom, and it's
useloom.com. Right.
Their Chrome plugin allows you to do a video quote proposal where you're on camera while showing your screen at the same time. And the studies show that there's a 300 to 400% open rate of videos in the subject title of an email, and 70% of people watch a 2-minute video where only 10% of written content gets read.
Right on.
And
okay.
So you can huge quick win there for being able to communicate and personalize.
And I think it's free. At least I think they have a free version because I don't think I'm paying for it. So.
Nope.
All right. I'm pretty sure they have a premium version as well, but the free version is great features.
It's great to get started and test.
All right. Very good.
Yep.
Okay.
And then really, there's agents out there doing it today. You don't have to figure this stuff out all on your own. There's resources like myself at State Auto, like, you know, you mentioned Safeco's got a program. Agency Nation holds a really good conference. Elevate 2018 was just the other month. And as valuable as the speakers are there, what's more valuable are the agents that are there because they have the same philosophy, same mindset. They're all trying to figure it out. And it's an open group of agents that are willing to share what's working and what isn't. And you can start talking to these agents. You see them posting on LinkedIn, and then you start looking at what they do, not just about the content they put out there, but how do they put it out there, and why are they, and then started connecting the dots of why are they doing it that way. So you look at Matt and Zach of GNN Insurance, Chris Paradiso of Paradiso Insurance. You know, we mentioned Stewardship and Grant Botma. Seth Zarimbo of Zinc Insurance is doing some really cool stuff with new agency technology platforms. There's just a lot of agencies out there that are solving these challenges, are figuring it out, and they're willing to talk about it. So leverage the community. I know it can feel like an island running your own agency, but folks are opening up and they're
help is here,
together.
Right? Help is here, so people don't need to feel alone. And I know that can be it's an agonizing sense for an entrepreneur to feel like, you know, the world is changing around them and they don't know where to turn. There are lots of resources out. So people should feel some confidence about that. Clint, if people want to learn more about what you're up to, what State Auto is up to, or if they want to reach out to you, how do you want them to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So LinkedIn is probably the platform I'm most active on, and you're feel more than welcome to reach out to me there. So it's just Clinton Houck, H-O-U-C-K. You can find me on LinkedIn, or, you know, don't hesitate to shoot me an email. It's Clinton period Houck, H-O-U-C-K, at stateauto.com. And I'm always happy to have a conversation about this stuff. I'm extremely passionate about it. I've done it as an agency owner. And to me, it's just how we deliver on the promises we make to our clients. And when we do that there's no better feeling. So,
Clint, this has been a super fun conversation for me. And I've got 3 pages of notes. So, I'm very grateful for your generosity, and as an advocate for the industry, grateful for State Auto's commitment to the independent insurance agents. So thanks to you, and thanks Upstream as well. And hopefully look forward to seeing you at a conference in the near future.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael. Appreciate you having me on. And it's great to see what you're doing to help spread the message inside the independent agency channel.
You bet. Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Thank you for listening to the Connected Insurance Podcast. If you found this episode informative, please share it with your peers and colleagues. Explore the Connected Insurance family of resources for insurance agents and brokers by visiting agencyrevolution.com and clicking Media. Subscribe and get updates delivered right to your inbox. New episodes every Wednesday.